Today's daf in Yerushalmi Shavi is brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh.
Is daf Chof Chet.
We're still holding in the middle of the sugya of Mesiras Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. And we got to the fascinating sugya in which the questions of whether the Kiddush Hashem is dafka b'fnei Asorim Yisrael were settled, and dafka where the goy is being ma'avir you, but in order to be married against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was also determined in the Aliyah of Beit Nitza, fine. These were very, very big chiddush. Now, the next case that we get to, we didn't have a chance to do yesterday, is the additional story of Reb Yonah. The last thing we learned was B'nigdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael, right? So we got up to the story of Rav Avuna Zeira, Chanune Pari Chori, Chamora B'shupta. So people saw Rav Avuna, the younger Rav Avuna, and there he was running in a public area behind a loaded donkey on Shabbos, which means that he's being Mechamer HaChabeim on Shabbos. Rabin. So apparently he held that he was allowed to be Mechal HaShabbos B'Farhesya because the Goy had insisted that he should use his donkey to deliver the things that the guy needed, apparently threatened him he's going to shoot him if he doesn't do it. So he did it. Well, and Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yosa, they actually gave a psak to the people in town that they were mufi la'arsakinas b'shupta. So they were allowed to bake on Shabbos for this Roman or sakinta. By the way, or sakinas, was like Shimon HaTzadik, the Gemara brings, that he stood up for the Chachonim, and when they yelled at him, "You're standing up for a filthy Jew?" So he said the same thing Shimon HaTzadik said. "I see these Rabbanim, and I see their faces going before me when I go into battle, whenever I win a battle. I'm going to stand up for them." So this guy had a lot of derech eretz for the Chachonim, but nonetheless, he brought apparently an army, and insisted that they be fed by the Jews, and it was Shabbos. They didn't have anything that they could feed them, and Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yosef were matir to bake it on Shabbos. So bake bread on Shabbos and bring it to them, as was said on the Sefarshas. Omer Rabbi Mana said, this is the same sugi we had yesterday, word for word. So Omer Rabbi Mana, kashiyata kume Rabbi Yonah Abba, I asked my dad, Rabbi Yonah. By the way, this is only based on the Ramah, who is matir, using your father's name. If you say Rebbe Avi, you can actually mention his name also. So this Gemara is brought as a riot there. So kashiyata kumi Rebbe Yonah Abba, locate Amar Rebbe Zeira and Rebbe Yochanan b'shem Rebbe Yonah. Look, I know that Rebbe Yonah was quoted, and Rebbe Yirmiyah and Rebbe Yochanan quoted Rebbe Shimon ben Yotzadak, that what we learned yesterday, namely, that we took a vote in the Aliyah's Beit Nitzah Belod, and they said, "Akol haTorah minayinim yomar goy li Yisrael avar alachas b'kol mitzvah shebetera, chutz mi'avodah zarah giloy arayis v'shichas domi," that he should be over v'lo yavar. That's because it says v'chay bem v'lo b'yomos bem. And furthermore, they also decided in that bezden that hadadatema beino levin atzmo. But where do we say that? That's only where you are not in public. Ava barabim, afilu mitzvah kala, even the slightest thing, you're not allowed to listen to them. You have to let yourself be killed. And it brought the example of Lulianus and Pappus about drinking in a glass that was colored. So again, remember yesterday we talked about maybe the problem was it looks like they were drinking Yayin Nesach, or that it was a minig of the Akum to drink in those kind of cup, whatever it is. And they refused to drink and were ready to die over the issue. So I asked my Abba, so I understand you were in public. It was in Shabbos. Why were you in Mechal Shabbos before Hesia? You should have let them kill you. And he explained, Rabbi Yonah, what we said yesterday, that Ur Sakinas was not Mechavin to be Meshamedas. He had no interest in making us go against our religion. He just needed food. And he said, anybody who doesn't bring the food is going to be shot. Okay? So Lois Kavin Alamecho Pita Chamima, all he wanted was fresh baked goods for his army, all right? So in doing that, obviously they were poisek, Galacha, and I did Galacha in going after the Chamor. And again, we asked the question we had yesterday, Kama Heim Rabim? As we said, Rabim is defined as Rabbanan de Kisar and Amrin, Asara, Dichtiv and Igdash di Betoch b'nei Yisrael. And we learn that out from Toch, from Kairach, and Betoch Eda, and that's the Toch that we learn out from the din of the Meraglim, in which we have the Eda. So the Eda, we learn out from Eda, Eda Hara'ah, and that is the 10 Meraglim, excluding, of course, Yoshua V'Kalev, that are called the Eda Hara'ah. So, okay, all in all, that's the marker for the din of Kedusha, Kaddish, and Kiddush Hashem. All of them need to be Ba'asar. Now, the question is there a chiyuv on a goy to do the same? So Rabbi Avuna Boika Mei Rabim. Goyim. Ma'ashiyuv mitzuvim al Kiddush Hashem. So does a goy have to also sacrifice his life in this fashion? This is a sugya that confuses people from Aleph to Tav. All of the Mefarshim end up getting wrapped in knots because they don't understand precisely what's going on here. So obviously there's no mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem on Goyim, because there's only Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. So where would anybody get the idea that there's a Chiyuv of Kiddush Hashem on a Goy? The whole question in the Gemara is ridiculous. So what is that supposed to mean? So, again, all kinds of explanations. The meaning is simply this, gentlemen. You have to look back at how the whole sugya begins. Are you Chayiv to die for the Tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is a Jew chayev to die for a tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch? What's your first reaction? Why not? HaKadosh Baruch said not to do it. What gave you the right to do it? I understand. Did it come along with the stipulation? So the answer is that yes, it did come along with the stipulation, but only for Jews. Because it says, v'chay bam, v'lo shiyamut bam. Oh. So why shouldn't I do a v'dezor gilei arayas v'tzvichas domi? Because it says, "Va'after Hashem Elokecha b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha, afilu notil et nafshecha." How do we make the determination of what things are what? That's the whole sugya in Sanhedrin. My chesed adam adidach, and so on and so forth. Each one of those three things, we have a special makor to say. The "Va'after Hashem Elokecha" includes being meisur nefesh al kiddush Hashem for those things, and "V'chay b'hem" applies to all other things. And then we understand that since it says v'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, that there's a different halacha in which if you have a rabbim, then the innate idea goes back to, is it in fact a chilul Hashem because it's being mezalzel on the tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's all. So this is a balance of three fundamental ideas plus all of the logic that is used to express the specific dinim on gilui arayos shvichas v'damim mezalzel, right? So what the Gemara is asking is, if we're coming to a goy in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, we're essentially asking what the situation is without V'chai Behem and without V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. Is there an innate, limitless definition of the mitzvah of Hashem? Hashem said, don't steal. This guy's going to kill me if I don't steal. So do we say so? What does that have to, how did your life get involved in this question? Why would you be allowed to steal? Makes no sense. That's a Kiddush Hashem on a completely different understanding. Not the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, but the fact of the Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Baruch Hu said, I'm not allowed to steal. So how come now you'd be able to steal? That's the question. And that revolves around an entirely different, extremely sophisticated point, which again is missed by everyone. If a person does something with a gun to his head, gentlemen, it's not considered to be his act. That's the point. And of course you're potter, Rabbah. That's the din. If I went ahead and I killed the next guy because I had a gun pointed at my head, I'm not chaya for killing him. I go ahead and I'm over on Avodah Zarah. I'm not chaya for being over Avodah Zarah. It's not my action. That's the point. So therefore, there's a completely different issue involved. If there's an additional chiyuv of v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, then that is a meda chiyuv, which would be mechayev me for doing something which is not even my action, because I have to consider the fact of the v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. But this is basically the question that is obviously needs to be addressed over here. To say that goyim are mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do it, but it's not my act. Is there a chiyuv of v'nikdashti? Says Ravimi, of course not. Understand, it says beferish, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, which means that Yisrael are the ones that are shayach to the concept of Kiddush Hashem. Yisrael are mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem. Where would you get the idea that goyim are mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem? Reb Nazir b'shem Reb Lazar says, look, it's a beferish story in Tanakh, a beautiful story. Remember, the story was that Naaman was so blown away by the fact that Elisha had managed to cure his tzaraz with this insanity of going into this little river that had no value, the Jordan River, which he laughed about. What are you, crazy? Gotta go to the Jordan River. I'll go back home. I'll go to real rivers. These are toy rivers. Right? And his avod and persuade him, listen, the guy's a Navi. It doesn't have to make sense. Just do what he said. You came the whole way to find. Just try it out. He goes in, and sure enough, he's completely cured instantly from his tzaraz. He flips out, and he decides that he is going to start keeping the mitzvahs, right? The Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Nayach. Well, obviously, now he sees this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So he's got a big problem. Because when he goes home, he's going to have to pay obeisance to the local god and go together with the king, where he's the chief officer, you know. And if he says, well, I don't bow down to Avodah Zarah, well, then it's off with his head, right? So he's got a real tzara. So he says to Elisha, I want to know, do I have rishus? Will Hashem forgive me? What an incredible thing to be hearing from a Syrian general, right? So, Yislach Hashem la'avdecha, he says to Elisha, that because when I come back, bevo Adoni Beit Rimon, he's going to come to this, to Beit Rimon, li'ishtachavot shama, and he holds onto my hand when he comes there. You need to understand, that's the relation. I can't get out of this. I have absolutely no way to get out of this. So, if I bow down there with him, li'ishtachaviti Beit Rimon, Yislach Adonai la'avdecha b'davar hazeh. And Elisha tells him, Lech l'shalom. Go, it's okay. Right? Unbelievable. So an open pasuk in which Elisha is matir him to be Oved Avodah Zarah because he's going to lose his life if he's not matir Avodah Zarah. Wow, amazing. So you see the actual case, and that proves to him, Lech l'shalom. Yisrael mitzvim HaKadosh Hashem, ve'en ha'goyim mitzvim HaKadosh Hashem. It's very poshut. Now, there was another case. These are like amazing cases. So, Reb Abba Bar Zmina, he was a...
I'm having trouble with the connection.
Oh, go away. Go away. Just go away, Siri. Bye-bye. Ish. Amazing. So, Reb Abba Bar Zmina, he was a tailor. He used to work for this guy, you know, in one of these sweatshops. Anyway, this guy brings him a piece of nevela. And he says, okay, Jew boy, eat. And he says to him, Saitali Pisar Nevela. Omale Achol. Omale Lena Achil. It's amazing. All of their language is contractions. Lena Achil. Let Anna Achil, right? Lina Achil, as we said, Yerushalmi, everything is like cut down into like these little pieces. Lina Achil. Omale. So he says, oh yeah, you are. Achol. Delachin, which is contraction, im lo kein. Delachin. If you don't eat, I'm about to shoot you. So you make up your mind. So he says to the guy, you want to shoot? Shoot. I don't eat Bisar Nevela. Ana Lena Mecha Bisar Nevela. So he says, the employer says to him, you know, I want you to know that if you had eaten that nevela, I was going to shoot you. Because my feelings are If you're a Jew, you're a Jew. If you're a guy, you're a guy. You don't compromise. Yehudi, Yehudai. Armoy, Armoy. I was going to shoot you. And you just saved your life by refusing to eat that nevela. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Mana. Wow. It sure is a heck of a good thing that Reb Abar's Manmina didn't hear the sugya that we were just learning. Because if he had heard the sugya that we were just learning, so then he would have eaten, and then he would have gotten shot. Right? So, Ilu Avi Reb Abar Bar's Mina Shama Milein Derabanan, he would be kaput, Mizal Avi, he'd be gone. So it's a miracle that he didn't hear about this, right? So now, this is a Peladika Gemara, which is brought by the Mefarshim as a riot to the sheet of the Rambam. Because the sheet of the Rambam is, you do not have a right to say, I will not eat when you are supposed to eat. And that's the halacha. So if over here Rabbi Mona said, whew, it's a good thing he never heard this psak. How do you know he never heard this psak? Maybe he did hear this psak. And maybe he was just being machmir on himself. Listen, I'm a Jew. I don't eat nevela. So clearly, Rabbi Mona is saying, because the Rambam says, you're not allowed to be meiser nefesh. That's the point. So if he had heard the halacha, then he indeed would have eaten it, even if he didn't want to, right? Amazing. So all of these overall broad universal issues that come up all the time, we have right here in the sugya, in the middle of Shvias, in our sugya, which is unbelievable. Okay, anyway, getting back to Maseches Shvias. So now, the next thing that we learned was that there's the din of a knas. If you went ahead and you did the taiva, which according to the Bavli means you did the first harisha, according to the Rishonim meant you did the second harisha. That was the machlokes we had yesterday. What we want to know is what we often ask. This knas that we have, that if you did, then you're not allowed to plow, to use your field the next year. What about if he died after he did the taiva of the field? Is there a knas on the child, or is the knas only on the person who did it? So, bino, maoshi emote lezora, so Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, and Rabbi Imi, b'shem Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Chanina, they say, if he died, there's no knas on the Yorish. But no mutar lezora. But if he did it and sold it, the buyer inherits the knas. And he's not allowed to use it either. Because obviously it makes sense to say it that way. Because if you're going to allow him to sell it after he does it, then it's going to be worth it for him to work on it during Shvias, then he figures he'll sell it. So because of that, in order for the knas to be meaningful, it can't only be that he can't use it. It would also have to be that if he sold it, it wouldn't be usable. And that way he's not going to be able to get anything out of the work that he did during Shvias. That's the point. So now the original guy goes ahead. He didn't die. And instead, he went ahead and he did do Zriya on Mitzvah Shvias, which he wasn't allowed to do. What happens to the production of the field? Is there a knas on being over the knas? That's the question. So he actually planted it and grew $1 million worth of produce. So now does he have to dump the produce? No. In that case, if he was over Uzra'a, then he actually is allowed to utilize the things that came out of that, and he can sell it, eat it, and so on. Shelo gazru, because remember, in general, we don't make gezeiras that are meant to create a getter to be shomer halachas when they are so impossible to keep. The social pressures that would have been created by making a knas on the produce after it already grows, and that then the guy's going to lose $1 million, no, people are not going to keep it. And then what now, so now we need to have a whole new heksher of the badats, that you should know that the peiros of the shminis, we're guaranteeing, we're not peiros that came from a field where the guy had done a harisha and shvias, and then, come off it, man. There is absolutely no way that that is going to be able to be kept. So, okay. So then they didn't make such gezeiros. All right, now getting back to the issue of what happens when the Goyim are no longer doing this whole shtick of forcing people to plant because they put on these impossible to meet taxes on the field with the agricultural production is absolutely necessary in order to survive. So, okay, so we said that the Chachomim were matir, either because it should be Yisbizman Azabas Drabonon, or according to some of the Shitas, because it involved an actual Sakonis Nefashis, and even if it was a Diyaraisa, whatever. But the question is, what about nowadays? Nowadays meaning where we don't have that Gezerah of the government. So, Tiyu Bizman Azeh Mahu. So now the question is like this. Obviously, we had the Gemara yesterday, in which, what, are you crazy? You think we were matter this permanently? We're not matter permanently. We allowed you to do it because of the situation. But the Shaila is, when we allowed you to do it because of the situation, okay, so obviously, if there is no situation, you're not allowed to do it. But the question is, did we restore things to the way they were? Which means that we also put on the knas, and if it's done, there's also a knas. Or is the fact that this is now sort of an iffy halacha, and it depends on when the situation takes place, that we didn't just say, okay, forget about the whole idea. There's now a knas. That's the question. So, tiyu bizman hazeh mahu. So, Rabbi Yirmiyah, sovar meimar, Rabbi Yirmiyah wanted to say that it should be mutter. At least that's what we think it means. So, Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Yirmiyah, he really wanted to paskin that there's no knas and it's mutter to use the field of Mitzvah Shviyas? Didn't Rabbi Yirmiyah hear the halacha that Lamaisa nowadays, if somebody does that, that we give him Malkus Darabonan? We don't give Malkus Darabonan on some small issue that's like all up in the air. And Rabbi Yirmiyah never heard the psak that somebody that does that is puzzled for giving edus? This is not like a little chumrah. This is a major issue. I mean, so why wouldn't there be a knas? I don't understand. So then Rabbi Yosef said that no. He was saying over this thing, it doesn't mean that obviously that he doesn't know these things. Of course he knows these things. So when Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Sovar Meim, it doesn't mean he wanted to paskin that way. Of course, he didn't want to paskin that way. The meaning of the word Sovar Meimar, says Rabbi Yosef, is that he's considering why it's true. That's all that Sovar Meimar. He wanted to think it out. So Chazar V'yomer in the Rishmi, of course, Rabbi Yirmiyah did know this. The reason that he uses these words is Ki'inish Teshama Milo Makshel. He's like a person who hears something which doesn't add up to him. Because, in other words, once we took off the Isser, we would need a whole meeting of Beis Din to create a new Knas, and since this is liable to go right back and happen again, where was that happen? Well, I don't understand. Why do we say that the Knas would go right back on? Omer of Chizkiya, actually, Itavet Kamei Reb Yirmiyah, De Amar, I actually, something messed up over here with the Gersos, and I haven't found a Gersa that really, really makes sense very much, I have to tell you. But basically, I asked him, V'chi ein ze bezdin omad ubitel? Isn't this the same thing? That if the Gezerah was batal, then isn't that the exact situation of a Beis Din being mevatel what it had said before? Because it's not as if we actually took off the original Takana. We had the original Takana. So when Beis Din was matir, it was in response. And if that is no longer an issue, so then it's the exact same situation as the Beis Din actually meeting and getting up and putting things the way it was. Why does he feel that there would be a problem of creating a new knas? Why is it a new knas? It's this, we just went back to the way we were. And yet, you know, there is a very strong indication that Rabbi Yirmiyah is actually right on target. And Chele de Rabbi Yirmiyah min hada, his power, meaning a siyata to Rabbi Yirmiyah, his power would come from this braita, which basically seems to be saying the exact same thing that he was saying. Because the halacha is like this. Truma, which is tamea, is mutter for kayanim to put into their lamp, right? You can burn oil that's tamea and use the light. You can take truma that's tamea if it's burnable then you could put it into your oven and cook with the heat of it and so on and so forth. Use it in your fireplace. It's all mutter, but it's only mutter if you're kohen. Now, suppose this kohen invites the Yisrael into the house. So the halacha is that if it's warming the kohen, that's not called the use of extra truma for Yisrael. Okay, so that's the halacha. Now, the problem is that the Braisa says like this. Suppose this woman, who is a kohenet, meaning she's married to a kohen, or she was born as a kohenet, and she's utilizing this shemen sreifa in a lamp. So knock on the door, and a neighbor comes by. I said neighbor, neighbor in those days could mean, the next house down, a kilometer away, comes to the house, and she needs a light. So it says that a bat Yisrael, shebolad lik min hakohenet, tovelata taptila shemen sreifa umadlaka. So she's got this little torch, right? So she's allowed to dip her torch into the oil of the lamp, which is Shemen Sreifa, that is only mutter to Kohanim, and to light it and to go back home with it. So now, how do you explain that? How is she allowed, if she's going to be using it without the Kohanet, so then she's going to be a Bas Yisrael who's using Shemen Sreifa? So how is that allowed? So Rav Huna B'Shem, the base Rabbi Yanai explained that the Braita was talking about a situation when there was a mishlachat of ze'evim. There were wolves that were attacking people on the road. So she had to get back to her house. Could be a 20-minute walk back to her house. So therefore, it was mamish a mokum of sekhonis nefashas. So they were matir, this type of behavior. What it's talking about over here, since, why doesn't it say so? Because once they were mevatalit for the wolves, they made it a permanent situation because they never went to be making a bezdin to be mevatalit. No. So what do you see? Why didn't they make a bezdin? Maybe because, it changes by the month or changes by the season. I don't know. But the bottom line is, it says over there that because they didn't make a new maimed of bezdin, the halacha never went back to the way it was. So that's the point, maybe, that Rabbi Yirmiyahu was saying. If you have to make a halacha that is a response to a danger, which is liable to come back. So then you see from here that unless there's a specific bezdin, we don't say what you said. Well, if lomaisa, the danger is past, isn't that the equivalent of the bezdin paskin? You see from here that it's not. So kugmor de temar taman lo amad bezdin ubita, the same we're going to say over there by truma, by shemen sreifa, that there never was a new takana. So the same thing is true over here. Why not? The Rabbi Yirmiyahu may be right. That Hoka Lo Amad Bezdin Ubita, that's what was bothering him. If we find that there is such a concept, so maybe Eino Chinami, and there's actually no change. Now Halacha Lamaisa, the Rambam Mamish brings this La Halacha in Ilchas Trumas, and that the din is Tovel Ayisrael Ptila Bener HaKohen Umad Likle Lechba, without defining it to be Dafka in terms of Amishlachat. And on the other hand, obviously, the Rambam also paskins here in the Sugya, not like this question of Rabbi Yirmiyahu, but it was just his thinking process. Okay, so you have to explain why in one case we say it went back the way it was, and in another case not. Which brings us to the question of Me'im Atay Adam Zochet B'Perotav B'Shvi'it. After we have this big machlokas about whether the dinim is B'Teva or Shaloi B'Teva, with all of the cases of where we would be allowed to do something, which is me, not me, Karadin, and where Chazal were matirid, and then the situation changed back again. We have to ask ourselves, if the idea over here is that you are not allowed to show any kind of balus, at what point does the output of your field actually, yes, belong to you? Because we said, remember, you can't even assert any level of balut at all on this, even to the extent of people saying Yasher Kochacha Libet Beisham, according to you, because it looks like they're claiming that you are the one who is allowing us to have all of this stuff, and it's the Torah that is doing that. It's not you. So, at what point when you go into your field? Now, the question is psychologically: you go into your field and you collect things during Shvias. Do you really see yourself as someone who is a stranger? In other words, you're gonna view your own peiros as things that you need to be kaina, or okay, to you it's just the same as going into your field as usual, except you know the Torah doesn't allow you to take as anything that you want. It just allows you to take enough for what it is that you need, and so on and so forth. So how does that work? At what point, if you were holding peiros, you know, and you've been throwing things into a basket, somebody else comes along and takes the fruit out of your basket that you collected and says, hey, buddy, I like that fruit. So at what point can you say, well, you can't take that fruit. That's mine. Is it yours? What is it that makes it yours? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu Savar Neymar, Yishiyat Neymar, Toch Kelav. Well, I mean, it's like always. I mean, if you go somewhere, you know, you're kaina by putting things into your kli, and the halacha is that Kelav Shal Adam are kainim, even though you didn't know about it, right? Shalomi da'ato. So if that's the case, even though you may not be thinking in terms of making kinyanim, because to you, I mean, you know, you're just collecting your own stuff, but lamaisa, your kli is kaina without your das to be kaina. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Sofameimar, afilu nitanam l'toch kelav lo zachabem, that's not true. Because that halacha, that kelav shalom kainim shalomi daite, is only where he has a das to be kaina, but he doesn't know that these things were put into his kli. But over here, he knows that the things were put into his kli, and he specifically thought that they were his. So over there, he doesn't think that there needs to be a kin. It's a whole different issue. To who savadi in on the day? He thinks that these are his. Psychologically, that's how he's relating to it. Valetin undine, they're not his. So tell me what act he did to be kin of them. And there's actually a riot to this from the following Maisa. So now there's two different girsos. Personally, I like the gross girsa over here, and I prefer to explain the Gemara like the Gra. So what happened over here, according to the Gra, is Kahada, the Maisu was at Rabbi Tarfon Yod Lechok Tziot. Now the Gra takes out the words Mitoch Shalo. So you see, if it's Mitoch Shalo, then it's a direct connection to the sugya that we had before. And the question was, if he was picking his own kitziot, his own figs, his fig cakes, from his own field, then the word shalobit tova is very weird. I mean, why would he say thank you to himself? So, okay, so those who learn that the girsa is correct, they understand that shalobit tova means essentially shalobit tova, right? In the sense that since what Beit Shammai was saying is that you have to be very careful not to in any way feel that this is your field. So in the same way that you will not allow somebody to say thank you very much, you'll say, what do you thank me for, right? So then in that case, Shalom Betova is just a way of expressing the idea that Reb Tarfon was very careful not to indicate that he had more rights to this than anybody else did. Okay, I think it's a little bit strange, but okay, it's certainly acceptable. Suppose we read this as going back to the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which I think makes more sense, as we'll see why. So Rabbi Tarfon, if we have that approach, we take out the words Mitoch Shalom. So Rabbi Tarfon once went into a guy's field, and he was very careful not to express any kind of teva, not to ask permission from anybody for going in, because he held that's what Beit Shammai answered. You're not allowed to ask permission. So he was going, I'll give it to Beit Shammai. So Chamuni Santeraya, so the sentries that had been appointed, you know, they were being paid to watch the field, they see this guy going into the field, completely ignoring them, not asking permission. So they go over to him, they start beating the living hell out of him. V'shon chavtun aloi. So when he realized he could actually be killed by these guys, Katchama Garmei B'Sakana, he saw that he was in danger, he said to them, B'Chayechon, at least go to the house of Tarfon and tell them to prepare his Tachrichin, because they're going to have to bury him soon. So at least do me that favor of telling the family to get ready to bury me. Once you're going to kill me. So Katshamun came. When they heard that, they realized they're beating up Reb Tarfon. Oh, my God. Ishtatkun alapeyon. They bowed down to him and said, oh, Rebbe Sharilon, please be Michael for our beating you up. Omarlon, it's according to the Gros vision. So this is why it makes so much sense. So he said to them, Yete alai, I deserved everything I got. And I'll call chuter v'chuter da'ave nachit alai. Every single time I got another punch, I was so grateful. And avina shari l'chonav kadmai, I was melech you 100%. Because I should never have listened to Beit Shammai. This is the same Rabbi Tarfon who did the same thing back there, remember, with Kriyat Shema, where he lied down in order to be Mekayim Beit Shammai, right? And so because of that, they almost killed him. The muggers almost killed him. And the Mishnah says over there, well, you deserve to be killed. Why were you going according to Beit Shammai? So this is the second time that he did it. That's why the Gros Pshat works out so beautifully. Be'ilan, Tartan, Milayan, these were the two times that Rabbi Tarfon was noyik like Beit Shammai, and he ended up almost getting killed. V'sakin. One of them was here, with going in there and not asking permission or saying thank you for picking the Shvias. And the other one was the famous Maisa of Kriyat Shema, where he wanted to be Yotze in Brochus, he wanted to be Yotze, Afiyu Aliba, the Beit Shammai, and you're supposed to say the Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis while you're B'shoch Becha. Okay, so that's why he said over here, and I realize I deserve this, so don't worry about being the ones to beat me up. Okay. Rabbi Abu, B'shem Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel say that Rabbi Tarfon's, the rest of Rabbi Tarfon's life, he was fasting constantly because of this, because he felt he should not have indicated to them that he's Rabbi Tarfon, which is what saved him. He could have bought them off by offering them money. He was a rich guy. Why did he use the Kovod HaTorah to save himself? So he would go around fasting, oily, shenitchabadeti b'kitra shel Torah, and that was a terrible avera he held.